Well, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12. And again, it's a pleasure to be with you. And today is an anniversary, not such a joyful anniversary, not today, 30th yesterday. What is today, the 31st? So yesterday was the anniversary of the Space Shuttle Columbia. How many of you remember that? For our age groups, that's another one of those times in history when you just kind of know where you were and what you were doing, and just all of us were kind of shocked when all of that took place. It was something. But in relation to that, I just want to share with you this morning how brief life can be. That's one thing we need to be reminded of all the time. I don't know, it's almost like we feel like we're invincible, and I don't think it's great to run around all the time, you know, watching for something to fall off a building and kill me or a car or something like that. We certainly want to be aware of things. But I think sometimes we forget that we're frail. We're but dust. But that's not all there is to us. There's a soul that lives forever. Amen? That's the way God created us, a living soul, just like He did Adam. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And that's what you are. That's what I am, a living soul. And when these bodies decay and when these bodies die, there is a part of us that lives forever, the real us. And so I want to share with you this morning just a brief message from Luke chapter 12 that talks about Jesus approaches that issue. Now, it may be strange that I read a few verses prior to that, but it says, "And one of the company," verse 13 of chapter 12, "and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness." And you need to underline that. Beware of covetousness. "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Now, Jesus gives that principle there, and it's one that we need to learn well, is that we can either be in possession of things or things can be in possession of us. And either one of those possess the soul and has an outcome to it. And Jesus says, you need to be careful of being covetous. And I've seen, you know, this is talking about a funeral has taken place, and evidently one brother thinks another brother got more than he ought to. So, Jesus, you're in authority. So, I tell you what, why don't you just kind of make this thing right? I didn't get everything I was supposed to have. And I want to tell you, we've all seen more fusses over division of goods from inheritance than anything I've ever seen in my life. I want to tell you something. Lives are more important than stuff. All right? I've seen, again, last week, I'm just reminded. It just happens all the time. And Jesus said the problem is covetousness. None of us deserve anything. And none of us own anything. I mean, all we have to do is leave a little while. I mean, die and find out we really don't have anything. We don't have a good grip on life at all. Life is a thin cord for all of us. So he gives an illustration, which I know you've heard before. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God butts in. I mean, there he is, you know. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Thy soul will be required of thee. That's talking about judgment. And we're going to have to give an account for how we live this life. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. An accountability. And when he talks about being required of thee, he says, Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We're looking at the wrong end of things. I want to speak to you just a moment on the last minute and a half. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And I only have a few moments. But in these few moments, I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts, all of us, myself included. We have a tendency to live day by day and take life for granted. And I pray maybe this morning you would help us to understand that life is a thin cord. I don't want us to be morbid. Don't want us to run around worrying about dying. But the point of this passage of Scripture and what I'm trying to say this morning is that we need to be prepared. We need to be ready when our soul is required of us. So help us with this illustration, with this horrible anniversary, Lord, to help us put things in perspective. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. January 28, 1986 was when it was. I was pastoring White Oak Hill Free Will Baptist Church. My wife and I and my little girl at that time, my girl was 5 years old, and we were watching television. Everybody was excited. This was a historical event. The Space Shuttle Challenger's going up with seven souls. One of them is a teacher. And from over in Wilmington, I believe. And so anyway, what an event. Schoolrooms had their AV televisions up and all that. And they're all watching this historic event take place. Me, my wife, Melissa, we're watching TV. And so this thing ensues. All of a sudden, this missile fires up. This rocket begins to lift off the earth. And then all of a sudden, just it blows up. It explodes. And we all remember that we're watching that scene that took place. And we're just shocked. I'm trying to figure out, is this a hoax? Is this what, you know, what's going on here? And then it takes a few moments to really settle in, to understand seven souls died at that moment. Maybe at that moment. There's a little more to the story. But here, right before us, we're just shocked that such a thing could happen of this nature. A spokesman came on for NASA and said approximately a minute and a half after liftoff, the space shuttle exploded. My question today is, what do you suppose those seven people were doing the last 90 seconds of their life? Do you suppose as they were lifting off that maybe they were thinking about dying? Maybe they were thinking about losing their soul? Do you think they were thinking about those kind of things? I don't think so. I think they were going about life like they had been trained to go about life, to do what they normally do on a day-by-day basis. They're heading into the outer space and they're punching buttons and they're reading gauges and they're just doing communicating with NASA and just doing all the things that they normally do that they had been. They were working. They were just in their normal routine when all of a sudden God spoke and said, "This day thy soul shall be required of thee." Do you suppose they were ready? Do you suppose they were prepared? But I want to tell you, there were seven of them that died, and they either went to heaven or they went to hell. There is no intermediate place. Just one of two places to go. And so God tells us to be prepared, to be ready. A testimony from our kids: today is a good time to get saved if you're not saved, because you don't know that you'll walk out these doors. You don't know how long you live if you do have the privilege to walk out of these doors. We don't know if we have an aneurysm lurking around in our body. We don't know if we're ready to have a heart attack. We don't know if any of these things are going to occur. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you and I could be required to give our souls to God as an accountability. What do you suppose you'll be doing the last 90 seconds of your life? You know, it's amazing. Most people are hoping that they'll have some lucid time before they die to make things right with God. I couldn't tell you how many over the years. I've been in the ministry over 40 years now, and I couldn't tell you how many people I've talked to about their soul. I just don't want to get ready right now. But I plan to sometime in the future. You don't know that you have a future. You don't know that you're going to live beyond today. Here is an anniversary, a sad anniversary that reminds us that in the prime of life, these seven were required to meet God. In the ministry, as I've lived and studied the Scripture, I've watched people. And so I wondered today, I wonder, what will you be doing the last 90 seconds of your life? You could be just like them, going about your normal daily responsibilities. I was preaching at one church, and a guy just came around the corner on the wrong side. Two cars are coming, opposite directions, coming around the corner, and it was a propane truck, and he got distracted with something, and he went over the center line and hit a car head on and killed a young mother. But there's stories like that all over the place. I mean, they're everywhere. You know, our problem is that when we think about dying, we want to flip back in the paper to the obituary people and look at all of those that are somewhere between 60 and 90 or whatever. And listen, the place to look is on the front page. where they're usually somewhere between 18 and 30. Nobody's guaranteed a tomorrow. What will you be doing the last 90 seconds of your life? I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I want to be prepared when God says, this day or this night, thy soul shall be prepared, shall be required of thee. So as I've watched people in ministry and watched what they do, I've seen people die several ways. I've watched them as they've died playfully. They don't take life serious. They just move on and do their thing. And I had a cousin like that. If nothing said, talk to him about the Lord. He'd just laugh it off and make a joke. There are folks like that that just kind of laugh life off. It's just a joke. There's nothing serious about it. It may be that seriousness makes them nervous, but I don't know. I've seen my cousin now is dead. He died. And he lived a rough life. And to be perfectly honest, I don't know whether he was right with God or not. I talked to him I don't know how many times. He had a rough life. I visited him in jail. He killed a guy that was in a gang. And he was in trouble most of his life. And I talked to him. He was a drinker. He was a drug. He did just about everything. And I would talk to him. And when I talked to him about his soul, it was just kind of, he'd flip it off. And he'd just kind of laugh about it. But God required his soul. And he had to be ready. And then there are some people that die what I call pompously. The rich, they're going to die. You know, Solomon talked about that. He said, it doesn't matter whether you're poor, whether you're rich. All of us are going to die and we're going to leave everything behind. All is vanity, Solomon says. But the most important thing and the most weighty thing is your soul that you carry around with you every day in this body. Do you know what death is? It's the departing of the soul from the body. We know a person's dead. Their soul departs and the body is left lifeless. What keeps your body alive is your soul, the soul that God gave to you. And one day it will be required and you're going to have to face God and give an account of your life. More specifically, you and I are going to have to give an account of our sin. Well, the truth of the matter is I'm not going to give an account of my sin. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. Covered in the blood of Jesus. And the Old Testament stands clear, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Are you covered in the blood? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? That's the way you get ready for that last 90 seconds. 90 seconds is a long time. If I were to stand here and just not say anything for 90 seconds, it would make us really uncomfortable. Seems like a really long time. But I want to tell you something. When you're taking your last breaths and when you're leaving this world, the last 90 seconds is pretty fast. Happens mighty fast. Quick. I was leaving home. I was pastoring Mount Calvary at the time. I was leaving home. I turned out on Highway 17. I was going south towards Goldsboro. I looked up behind me. There was nothing coming. But I looked ahead of me and I saw a police car coming at a huge rate. I mean, he was traveling. No lights, no sirens. And I thought, my goodness. Well, when I pulled up a little further, I was getting ready to pull over just to get out of his way. And a truck pulled out just about the time I came up. And that truck was there, and I thought, my goodness, you know, and a tree was kind of hanging over, and I pulled up a little farther, and I saw this truck pull out, just began to pull out in the highway, and that cruiser T-boned that vehicle, rolled up over top, broke both of his legs. Fortunately, there was no fatality involved in it, but I'm just telling you, that lady never saw that cruiser coming, never saw that patrol car. It can happen that fast. She stayed there if she'd have thought something was going to happen. Like, see, we need to prepare. You never know what's going to happen anytime, any place. Been dealing with a young man who's at his school up in Michigan, just an 18-year-old girl, senior in high school, I believe, just got killed. 18 years old, is a Christian school where she's from and just really upset all the students. And you know, you're just not supposed to die that young. That's what we think. But I'm telling you, some people go out playfully. Some people go out pompously. But listen, there are some people that go out painfully. There are different things that happen. I don't know what went on at the Paris shooting. I don't know how it went down all at the Santa Barbara. Somebody was in pain on that day. I mean, people go out in different ways. Some people go out quick. Some people go out painfully. Let me miss another one real quick. Some people go out prematurely. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? What do you mean by going out prematurely? Well, what I mean by that is there's defiance on the part of individuals. You know, I think there's a reason why God says in the Ten Commandments, obey your parents, okay? And they that do obey their parents have a long life is basically what he says. He promised them long life if you obey your parents, if you keep this
covenant between God and the parent thing. Some people, then there are other reasons why people go out prematurely. I think Moses went out prematurely. You know, Moses got angry and hit the rock twice. He was only supposed to hit the rock one time, and God said, because you've done this thing, because you've disobeyed me and disrespected me, you're not going to go in the promised land. And he did the lion's share of the work getting them there. And he asked God again about it a second time. Won't you just let me go in? And God got angry and said, don't talk to me about this again. Wow. What a conversation between me and God for something like that to take place. But he was one of Moses. Belshazzar died the same way, defying God. And then there's defilement. Samson, I think he died before he was supposed to. Samson just, he was a Nazarite and God used him, but he lived in rebellion as a result. And I believe he died an early death. We could go on with things like that. Some go out prematurely. And then I've seen some go out prepared, thank God. I look at Scripture and I see Stephen in Acts chapter 7. They're stoning him. He's dying. But the Bible says, you know, he said like Jesus did, don't hold this their charge. Don't forgive them, Lord, for doing this. They're not aware of what they're doing. And then he just looked steadfastly into heaven. The Bible says he laid down and he went to sleep. That's always been an enigma to me. He's being stoned. That had to have been painful, but at the same time, the Bible says that he just laid down and went to sleep. He went out prepared. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And they chopped off his head. He was ready. He was prepared to go. He went out prepared to meet God. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He was prepared to meet God. The last 90 seconds of their life, they were ready to go. A sad and interesting thing and kind of a scary thing for me, I was down in Florida in a revival. I was in a camp meeting down in Florida, and Calvin Evans was preaching. Some of you may have heard of him. He has written some books. I've known him since I was younger. He was from Pedro, Ohio. They call it Pedro, Ohio. He had a radio ministry there, and he was a great preacher. And on this particular night of the conference, the place was packed out, and they had TVs. They were recording it because he had a TV program as well, and I knew he'd been sick and all that. But he preached that night. He preached with the power of God on his life. He preached from 1 Samuel where it says, there is but a step between me and death. There has been a step between me and death. He preached with power. The altars were absolutely full of people crying and praying and getting right with God. 5 hours later, he took that step. I thought it was interesting that he had preached that sermon. There was just a step between him. And the truth of the matter is, there's but a step between all of us and death. The last 90 seconds. When I said there was more to that story, I read an article later on, not long after, about a month after that, about the Space Shuttle Challenger. And they came out with an article, and they showed the pictures and all. And when you watch that explosion, there's one thing that goes spinning off. And they said they've tried to study this and look at it, and they thought that was the capsule. They said there's a possibility the explosion actually pushed the capsule away and that they may have been still alive. And then they had to plummet to the earth where the whole thing just disintegrated upon entry and upon hitting the earth. So I don't know what they were thinking their last 90 seconds going up, but then I thought to myself, I wonder what they were thinking going down. Doesn't really matter. 7 souls on this anniversary were lost. And the announcer said approximately a minute and a half after liftoff, the space shuttle exploded. That could be us. Approximately a minute and a half after we pulled out of this parking lot, God said, thy soul is required of thee. The question is, are you ready? What would you do if it was the last 90 seconds of your life? What would you do? Well, I'd like to kiss my wife one last time, kiss my husband, kiss my children. I'd like to be able... 90 seconds is not a whole lot when you're getting ready to die. Well, I would say the first thing you ought to do is get right with God. He's ready, he's willing for you to come as you are and cover you with his precious blood. Let's stand and bow our heads just for a few moments. While we prepare an invitation song with heads bowed and eyes closed, have you been playing with life? What if we're moving around? What if time is moving towards your last 90 seconds? Are you prepared to meet God? We have an old song we used to sing, "Oh, prepare to meet that God." That's going to be the way it is someday, sometime, for every last one of us. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. But if you need to get right with God, I hope you'll do that today. If God's speaking to your heart, you need to slip out from where you are and make your way to an old-fashioned altar. And just trust Him. Trust Him and believe on Him. Father, thank You for the opportunity to preach one more time. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for providing Your Son that we can have everlasting life through His death on the cross of Calvary. Rose victoriously so we could know that all of that is true. And now, Lord, You may be speaking to some hearts, and as the song is sung, as it is played, those You are talking to, I pray they'll respond to You, believe on You with all of their heart. And it may be there's some Christians here today that have been playing with life as well, like my cousin, and they need to settle down. They need to think of life in terms of eternity, and they might come as well. So, Lord, in this quietness of time, help us to do what You'd have us to do. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, not closing this prayer, why don't you just slip out and come while Brother Bruce sings a verse of this invitation. God's waiting on you. He's already come to your pew.
Come right to You. Come just as you are.
Knocking on your heart. Won't you be saved today? Won't you trust Him?
It's come just as You are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Life everlasting.
What waiting and for strength. You. Life everlasting. Just trust Him.
For today, taste the living water and never thirst again. Come just as You are. Hear the Spirit's call. Come just as You are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forevermore.
And we thank You, Father, for Your blessings and Your mercy, and speak into our hearts in Jesus' name.